Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the MSTC Limited Q1 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Equirus Securities Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Dipesh Kashyap from Equirus Securities Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Renju. Hello, everyone. On behalf of Equirus Securities, I welcome you all to 1Q FY23 earnings conference call of MSTC Limited. From the management, we have with us today Mr. Surendra Kumar Gupta, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Subrata Sarkar, Director of Finance, and Mr. Ajay Kumar Rai, Company Secretary. We'll begin the call with the opening remarks from the management, and then we can open the line for Q&A. I now hand over the call to Mr. Surendra Kumar. Over to you, sir.
Yeah. Good afternoon, everybody. Before we come to the financials, I would like to share a very good news with all the participants, investor here. MSTC has successfully concluded the 5G spectrum auction for Department of Telecom. This has been an event which has gone very smoothly, and our honorable minister as well as Secretary Dot has been very appreciative of MSTC's role in the whole auction process. The complete auction stretched to 40 rounds, and it went on smoothly without any problem. That's a good achievement for MSTC, and they have kept faith in the capability of MSTC, and we are sure that we'll be able to. We have the capacity to conduct any such critical event for Government of India. Regarding the financials, our DF will tell in more detail, but we have kept our growth trajectory as compared to the Q1 of last financial year. Total income has increased from 68.32 crore to 93.85 crore, and profit before tax has zoomed from 37.17 crore to 66.11 crore, and profit after tax has increased from 21.20 to 43.84 crore. That is a good growth from quarter to quarter. We basically, if we make a comparison from Q4 to Q1, that is not a correct comparison because there we had some extraordinary income in the form of dividend from our subsidiary company, which is not in this Q1 quarter. And we always keep in mind that Q4 quarter of any financial year is always the best quarter, and we get business of almost two quarters in last one quarter. From that front also, our earnings have been quite good. If we talk of our main vertical, that is the e-commerce vertical, there our revenue of operations has increased from 64.96 crore to 83.36 crore. That is a good jump from Q1 to Q1. If we compare from Q4, it was slightly down from 90.97 crore to 83.36 crore. That is understandable, as I explained that Q4 is always the best quarter for the financial year. With this growth trajectory, we are hoping to achieve very good results in the current financial year. Apart from the spectrum auction, there are many other good projects MSTC is doing. We have entered number of agreements with large number of principals in South India. for Bihar, we are engaged in selling the auction vehicle by excise department, and we have been able to sell around 4,000 vehicles in 2-3 months, and we are capable, we are sure that we'll be speeding up that process in line with the Bihar government requirements. In Karnataka, in Chennai, we have entered an agreement with the Temple Trust for sale of their assets and for some e-procurement requirements also. So we are entering the new areas, new frontiers, and new kind of clientele. We are not limiting ourselves to the scrap sale. We are entering into new kind of things, new kind of business. So that is the brief opening remarks before I hand over to our Director Financial to give you further update on the financials.
Good afternoon to everybody. So before I start, if you look at the very remarkable quarter and for the concern of our investors, so when the provisioning will come to an end, so if you see the quarter, you can see that that is the quarter, and where we had no data on that particular line item, that means no provisioning for standalone financial statements. And now I come to the quarter one financial statements. So if you compare to quarter one to quarter one of previous year, so the total revenue, although has declined from 171,255.51 lakhs to 9,385.90, that is by 45%. Marketing is down by 90%, that is 11,207.51 to 10,009.26. E-commerce grow by 5,911.30 to 8,358.38. Others, of course, a minimal amount. And EBITDA pre-provisioning has gone up by 42.70% from 4,748.32 lakhs to 6,775.73 lakhs. PBT has gone up from 37.17 crore to 66.11 crore, and PAT has grown from 21.20 to 43.84 crore. Cash profit from 29.97 crore to 45.39 crore. And if you go by the segmental analysis, so you can see that the e-auction e-sale revenue has grown up by 39%, and procurement, of course, there is a lesser revenue, and of course, other income has gone up also. And if I go to the group financial as a whole, total revenue is a little bit lesser from 268.68 crore to 194.81 crore. And of course, major contributor is the marketing, where the revenue has gone down from 112.07 crore to 10.19 crore. And the e-commerce, of course, grown up from 59.11 to 83.58. And scrap and recovery allied jobs is basically the segment of our 100% subsidiary company from 97.43 to 100.96. EBITDA has also gone up from 68.55 to 86.85. And PBT has gone up from 53.80 to 80.53. And PAT has gone up from 33.55 to 54.29. And basically, this is all details are already there. So this is all from our side. Hand over to you.
Should we begin the question and answer session?
Yeah.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Vikas Kasturi from Focus Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations on a fantastic quarter and wish you all the best for this financial year too. Sir, I had a couple of questions. My first question is, could you please provide a status on the FSNL disinvestment? My second question is, could you please provide some information on how many vehicles have been scrapped in this quarter?
Okay. So far, FSNL disinvestment is concerned, so DIPAM has taken that thing, and you must be must have observed that UIE is were invited to UIE that is in that particular state. So as and when this analyzation will be there, so it will be of course in a public domain. So that is the status. It is UIE status is there. So afterwards, this UIE and everything will be. Whatever is there, that will be taken care of by the DIPAM only. It is being handled by the process is being handled by the DIPAM only. So as and when that final outcome will be there, we will always update you. So it is in the UI stage.
Sure, and vehicle scrapping, sir? Number of vehicles?
Yeah. So our CMD will take over the thing.
Yeah, as far as the vehicles are concerned, we have got up to June, we have got 1,459 vehicles. 1,459, so that's 1,460 vehicles. That is what we have got in first quarter, that is against the I don't have the exact quarter figures for last financial year, but if we take the complete financial year 21-22, there we got around 4,000 less than 4,000 vehicles in the complete financial year. So that is around 1,000 vehicles per quarter. So in that comparison, we have got around 1,459, I said, so that's around 50% growth of the vehicles. That's what we have got as compared to the last year.
Thank you, sir. A follow-up question on that, sir. So last year the government had said that all government vehicles would have to be scrapped by a certain date. I forget the date now. So has that been implemented in force, sir? And are you seeing any a good number of government vehicles coming for scrapping?
So that date has been extended for the timing. That date has been extended to October.
Okay, but are you seeing any good number of inquiries, sir?
Yeah, we are getting good number of inquiries, and we are going soon launch a portal for this trading of such end of life vehicles also.
Okay.
So which would be exclusively for such kind of vehicles, which where buyer and seller both will own.
Thank you, sir. Sir, just one small request, sir. So in your presentation, if you could provide more details about the nature of the business. So for example, when it comes to auctions, the number of vehicles that you scrapped and whether they were, government vehicles or commercial vehicles or private vehicles. And likewise, in when it comes to your e-auction business, if you could provide some more color in terms of how many auctions were conducted and so on, sir. That would be very helpful. Thank you.
Okay, we'll try to. We are noting your concerns, so we'll try to see what breakup we can give you in the next meeting. Next conference.
Sure. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Next question comes from the line of Keshav Garg from CCIPF. Please go ahead.
Sir, just wanted to understand that we did around 88 crore e-commerce revenue last quarter, which was the highest ever. So now with the fall in steel prices, since around half of this division's revenue comes from steel scrap sales, prices of which also follow steel prices, which are now down. So you think that we can hold on to this 88 crore quarterly revenue in e-commerce division going forward?
You see, the figures we gave you, I gave you the figures for Q1 to Q1 also and Q4 to Q1 also. So if we say Q4 of last year, that is, was around 83.36 crore total revenue from operations in e-commerce. So that is basically compared to total. Sorry, I'm giving you the total e-commerce. If I talk about e-commerce, last year it was 80 crore last quarter, and this year 72.63 crore, right? So that is the kind of e-commerce income. So if we, as you rightly said, there is around 20% drop in the prices of steel as well as scrap. Still, we have been able to keep very robust performance. So that really has not reduced our income by that much percentage. So that means we are getting the additional business, and we are hoping that we'll be able to maintain the growth trajectory. Of course, had that 20% price increase been there, so we could have surpassed that 80 crore figure for the last one, Q4 also. So all these factors taken together, our Q1 figures are quite handsome. That is what we believe.
Okay, sir. This company, does it have any synergy with our scrap business? I mean, the scrap that we are auctioning, does our subsidiary buy from us, or is there no relation whatsoever, and both companies are totally different?
You talked about, you are talking about our 100% subsidiary, Ferrous Scrap Nigam Limited?
Yes.
Basically, it is in the scrap recovery and allied job. It does not buy or sell scrap. It is a service company. It does the scrap recovery and allied job for the steel company. Okay? So by its very nature, it does not buy or sell scrap. And hence, the question of buying from NSTC does not arise at all. Okay?
Okay, sir. Understood. So basically, what I'm trying to understand is that post the disinvestment of this subsidiary, there will be no impact whatsoever in our scrap.
No. Let me get very clear for your understanding, sir. We are selling the scrap through e-auction. So it's an open e-auction, and it has nothing to do with our subsidiary per se, and its subsidiary disinvestment has no bearing per se on our scrap e-auction disposal.
So if you see our basically, as far as the business is concerned, we both are having quite this distinct business, and one is not dependent upon the other. It's only if we see our related party transactions, that's very meager. So that is a bit of scrap we sell for our, let's say, FSNL, which may be their old equipment or something. So that is a very, very, very meager amount. So as such, the disinvestment of FSNL per se will not have any effect on the financials or e-commerce income of our company, NSTC. I hope you have clarified this.
Yes, sir. Understood. Sir, I just wanted lastly to understand so that Coal India has announced that it will start its own portal for scrap sales. And sir, other big PSUs might also follow suit because this is an ongoing scrap generation, is an ongoing thing. So in that case, then where do we, I mean, what will be our role if this goes in-house?
No, let me correct you. What Coal India has announced is that they will be selling their coal. We are selling some part of the coal of Coal India, right? So for that, they have developed a portal, got a portal from NIC. But that portal has not started. But what has happened is that Coal India has announced the new policy for sale of coal. For that, they requested NSTC only to make a platform from them. So we are in the advanced stage of development of that portal. In fact, that portal is in. We have done our homework, and Coal India is testing that portal. So there, we are expecting that there will not be any impact, and NIC will be taking the long years to make the portal as per that. So there, we don't expect any significant revenue loss. And further, another thing I would like to highlight is, as far as coal is concerned, if we say quarter to quarter, the earnings are around very less. Total earning will be around from the coal sector. This is for the quarter to quarter financial year wise will be 12
second. That is there, but let me supplement CMD sir. So volumes are not going down that way. And second, that you told Coal India, as CMD sir has explained, the Coal India is still in a very nascent state, and they are still utilizing our portal. And for their new policy also, our portal will be utilized for sale of coal. So in the near future, we do not see any per se, threat to our current year. So we will review it in the next quarter also, what is the happening and what is the development.
And further, revenue from Coal India is very insignificant. If we take about the total our e-commerce earnings, so that may be less than even 10%. So that right. Will not really, even if it goes out, that will not really affect us, and we don't expect it to go out very soon.
Okay, sir. Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Srinivas Reddy, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, everyone.
Good evening, Reddy sir.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for the opportunity. I have two questions, sir. Regarding this other income, which has consolidated other income in the consolidated balance sheet, it has been abnormally increased, from the earlier by around 9 crores, I think. So can you throw some light on that number? Because most of the profits now in the last quarter, on a consolidated basis, has come from this other income increase. And regarding this provisions of earlier years, you were telling us that from this year, the provision requirement will not be there for the Stan Chart and other cases. So this is my second question. So, and the third one, final one. What is that you are trying to do for the B2C business? The loans, bank loans, all those property auctions and other things. So for that, any sustainable business plan you have come up for the B2C e-commerce business? So these are my queries. Thank you,
Reddy sir. You have been always a very guiding factor for us as an investor. So first let me tell, is a major chunk of other income has come from one is some kind of provisions written back. So in case of NSTC, it is around 4.25 crore that we have the old provisions that we have realized through NCLT process. So that is a major chunk. And other portions are, of course, a little bit of rise in the interest rate and etc. That's why you have realized from that. So, but major is like provision written back. That is the one question that you asked. Second, regarding provisions, this is the first quarter, as I earlier announced also, that we didn't have any provisions. And of course, in the consolidated accounts, we have a little bit of provision for the income for our subsidiary. It will remain in that particular range also, range only. So major provisions are not expected in the coming future, as we can tell and stand right now, because most probably all the marketing provisions have been taken care of. Regarding third business prospect, I will hand over the mic to CMD sir.
Yeah, regarding your query about this B2C, I will admit that we don't have that good a presence in the B2C segment. As far as the property is concerned, yes, we are in B2C. We have an agreement with, as we have already telling that, with the for the sale of assets of the public sector banks, we have a centralized agreement with them. We are selling the properties under Sarfaroshi Act for the banks. And there we have sold quite good number of properties, and the sale of properties is increasing quarter to quarter, year to year. And banks are getting good dividend out of that. Regarding the properties, we have sold the properties for Hyderabad city, and there are similar number of properties for Air India and other organizations are being regularly sold on our portal. And we are getting number of other queries from lot other state governments and central agencies where we hope to get additional business for the property sale. So that is also in the coming year, that is also going to give us good amount of revenue from the property sale. So that is what I can update. Regarding the bank loan and all that, I'll admit that we are not into that area of operations.
So one clarification, sir, regarding this debt, I mean, so when can we expect our company to operate as a zero debt company? Because now marketing is reduced, marketing require working capital requirements, marketing sector, the business. So a company is more into e-commerce now. So when can we expect it to having a zero debt? After the professional sale, it is possible with that additional amount of
thing. Mr. Reddy, I am getting back to your question right now. So, you know, if you think, basically, if you look at our annual balance sheet, the debt right now basically is only the disputed debt that MSTC had denied and disputed and protested and made a ad of that of Standard Chartered Bank, basically. So virtually we are right now a zero debt company. Virtually we can come. There was a very meager amount of term loan of SBI, so which will be taken care of. But virtually if we can, for all practical purposes, this is a zero debt company, except that is an entry is appearing for which we have protested, denied and disputed, and the KFB is sub duty. So we are unable to comment on that. Otherwise it is a zero debt company.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Dixit Doshi from Whitestone Financial Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on the good numbers. Sir, my first question regarding this JV with Mahindra. So you mentioned about the number of vehicles scrapped. My question is, once they scrap the vehicle, the scrap generated was auctioned by us or they themselves dispose it of?
We auction the scrap. Normally, we MSTC auction the scrap.
For the spare,
they have a separate portal. But as far as scrap is concerned, it is primarily sold on MSTC platform.
Okay. And my question, second question is regarding this e-commerce segment. So you rightly mentioned that, you know, even though the steel scrap prices have come down, our revenue has not come down so much. So on a, let's say, medium-term basis, 2-3 year perspective, at what rate our e-commerce business can grow?
It is very difficult to, comment at this juncture. You know that the scenario is changing so rapidly, and it is a mixed bag services that we give in the e-commerce. Supposedly scrap sale is there, e-sale is there, and we are trying to make mixed bags of things. As our CMD has already said, we are going to venture into a lot of areas. So revenue is a mixed type. And what will be the scenario in the next year, it's very difficult to say. But as of now, the growth of the company is primarily dependent on e-commerce, and it will be e-commerce-based growth only.
And if you see, I'll supplement to what Director of Finance says, if you see the last few quarters, you will see there is good growth, and we are hoping to maintain the growth trajectory. Of course, the other factors which may not be our in control. Another thing that I'd like to supplement is there was a time in e-commerce also where the majority of our income was from scrap sales. Now we are basically there also the revenue from the e-commerce scrap sale is going down and a percentage revenue. So I'm not saying in absolute terms, but because percentage contribution to our revenue are basically coming down, and we are basically diversifying our brackets, business segments. So there, if there is a downfall in one particular segment, so we hope to insulate ourselves from the total results and also make good the loss in different other sectors. So there, I think we are slightly better off from all these market fluctuations. Of course, we are living in this world and will be unaffected. I cannot say that, but our effect will not be that large for that one particular segment going down. That is what I can assure the investor community. Thank you.
How much percentage of revenue from scrap this quarter?
Less than 50%, slightly less than 50%.
And how much it would have been in Q4?
Similar level. That diversification does not vary significantly from one quarter to quarter, but if we see from, let's say, a couple of years back, then it could be 75-80%. Now it is less than 50%. So that is basically year to year, there is some change.
Okay. And my last question is, now that, you know, we have scaled down and almost our marketing business has been over, is there any scope for, rationalization in the employee cost? Like, there will be some employees who were, you know, dedicatedly for the marketing business. So is there any scope of employee cost reduction?
You see, as we have decreased the marketing, we have increased the e-commerce, and we have opened offices in almost all major states. And we are working with a very thin manpower. So, and in marketing, only a couple of people are engaged now. So there is hardly any scope. So as we went down on marketing business, the people were taken out and they were re-employed in the e-commerce. So we cannot expect a basically downturn or any reduction in the staffing after the discontinuation of or decrease of marketing business. So that sector has already been taken care of.
Okay.
And I hope I have answered your question.
Yeah, and last question from my side this sale of FSNL is basically government is doing for disinvestment purpose. So is it fair to assume that whatever proceeds will come from the sale of FSNL, majority of it that will be used to pay the shareholders in terms of, say, dividend?
Yeah, it is quite premature. The sale is yet to take place, and every quarter we are meeting you. Okay, so let's take a shape, then we will get back to you on this particular issue.
Okay, fine. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Abhishek Kale, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, am I audible?
Yeah.
Okay. Here is my question. Are there any time frames that we have received from the government of India regarding the divestment of FSNL? Because it's been, I mean, in the last quarter when we spoke about that the EOIs were submitted and that part was taken care of. So when is the likely date of announcements? Could you please comment on that?
Yeah, this is being done basically on behalf of Government of India, DIPAM, Department of Investment and Public Asset Management. And basically it depends upon a lot of factors, the response, the approvals, etc., etc. And it is very difficult to comment upon any kind of fixed time frame per se when it will happen. But as and when it comes and the developments are there, we will let you know. So,
sir, if I may have a follow-up on this, do we have any idea of the timelines, or right now you won't be able to comment as to when it is likely to happen, because you might have received some fillers from the government as to how and when this is likely to take place, the divestment.
So, it's just to tell, because it is a process being handled by DIPAM only. Okay. So,
okay.
As and when that approval, etc., and all the procedural aspects are there, he will, time to time let you people know.
Okay, sir. May I ask another question, please?
Yeah, please.
Sir, the joint venture with Mahindra, right? How much, if I'm not mistaken, it has contributed very little to our top line and the bottom line. So, could you please specify the exact numbers in terms of percentages, and what are the plans that we have along with Mahindra in order to have this business start contributing a bit more? Or is it not in our hands, it's solely dependent on how the government enforces those directives of scrapping old vehicles?
First of all, let me tell you, if you look at our consolidated financial statement, okay,
right.
See that, so that the figure is already there. A share of profit from the JV. It is a very, of course, very insignificant figure that you have pointed out. But you know that you would appreciate a couple of things. You know, when a project takes off, it takes a bit of time to generate a fair amount of profit, right? Number one. Number two, the policy has yet to take a shape and take its full form. So once when this couple of things happen, so then only the profit will start coming and it will contribute to our, of course, in the group income. And of course, it will contribute and to our bottom line. So that's the point. So it is all disclosed and it will take a little bit of time, because, you know, until and unless this policy takes the full form and it is in the full gear, the profits, high level of profits is little bit, that it will take some time.
I'll supplement it here that after the issue of policy by government, it's because this is a state subject basically. So the states are in this state, I mean, most of the states are in the advanced stages of finalization of their own policies on the line of the policy issued by MoRTH. So, as and when that policy is announced, this policy envisages certain incentives and disincentives. So, those will come on ground. Then only the will have the will able to make the basically the our capacities. Presently, we are working below par capacity. I mean, whatever we have the installed capacity, we are not getting competitive enough vehicles. So as the policy gets traction in the state government, then the vehicles will increase and our basically the top line for the company on MMRPL company will increase. And similarly, where it was in loss, so it will start making good profit. So we are hoping that now very soon, Assam has recently announced the policy. Other governments are in advanced state. So we are hoping that in current year, number of states will announce their policy and its implementation will start and our this business will get good traction.
Okay. So, sir, if I am correctly summarizing it, for both the questions that I have asked, the FSNL and the MSCC, we are mostly dependent on the government policies to take effect, and that is when we will see movements in these two things, right?
Yeah, to some extent, that's right. We are making effort from our side also. We are engaging in dialogue with the government's state government. And apart from that, we are increasing our recycling facilities also in the anticipation of issue of policy. So we are quite proactive on that front.
Okay, sir. I really appreciate you answering my question, and you have best of luck for the future quarters, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Harshit Jain from RAH Investments and Advisory. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Thank you for the opportunity. I would like to know in Q1, what is the kind of revenues we did from scrap business? Like last year, we did 6,000 odd crore. What is the revenue this time?
6,000 odd crore. That you are most probably are talking about the volumes and etc. Basically, you know,
yes,
as
yes.
just now pointed out by our CMD sir, like basically if you take a thumb rule, around 40 to 50% is coming out of from our this scrap business. So that's the ratio.
No, I'm talking in terms of number, that how much sales volume we did on the scrap side in Q1.
Around, if you can take it, it is around 3,000 crore, around 2,500 crore.
2,500 crore.
Around, approximately.
Okay. And one more thing, in your investor presentation, you have mentioned that you have signed ESL Steel ArcelorMittal. So are we enjoying the same kind of margins which we were used to, or...
Yeah, that is for the iron ore. For ArcelorMittal, we have done it for the iron ore. Yeah, and
yes.
We are having same kind of margins that with other iron ore sellers we were looking at.
So it would be in a range of 2.15 to 2.55?
That keeps on varying. So that depends upon business to business. So we cannot give the, basically, customers to customers. It's not proper for us to divulge that kind of commercial information.
But can you give me a ballpark figure? Is it around 2% on iron ore sales?
No, please excuse us from, we cannot give that definite figure, so that may affect our business research and customers.
Okay,
but
okay, sure.
No, yeah.
Sure. And one more thing would be, like, I was checking your website and there are certain auctions, OMDC, Orissa Mineral Development Corporation, and some of the auctions get repeated. So can you guys, just a small suggestion from my end, that if an auction repeats itself, can you mention that it is re-auction, because people get confused that you have got a new auction, but that is the same old auction.
Okay, first let me go back to your old question. I will tell you that we have a different business model for different kind of commodities. Somewhere we charge in the range of percentage, somewhere we charge like on the event charges and all that. So there cannot be any thumb rule that we charge. And then the pricing vary from commodity to commodity. Right? So it's very difficult, or it's not rather possible to give a figure on that, that how much percentage we charge. This is one thing. Then second, that you said that whenever the auction is repeated, so that's a nice suggestion. We'll look into this possibility and we'll try to incorporate it. Yeah, that's a good suggestion you have given.
Because
that's a good suggestion for us. Yeah.
If a lot of auctions are repeated, then sometimes as a investor or as a person,
I know that is a, I can feel that if the auction is getting repeated, we can tell the people who are interested that it's an old auction which could not be sold.
Yes, and one more suggestion would be, like, can you guys also give us, like, that how much percentage of auction via portal?
Pardon, how much percentage?
How much percentage of the auction are getting are successful?
Okay. So,
we will think, of course, you have got 22 good suggestions. So, of course, if feasible, we can, let us see how could we do this.
Yes, because if there is more transparency and more fairness from your side, then obviously investor interest would interest, and it will be good for company in long term.
Yes, we have noted it. Yeah, we'll see.
Thank you so much. And my last question would be regarding Standard Chartered case. So I just want to know that our properties are attached since past 15 years. So if you guys pay 143 odd crores, so will our properties be returned back to us, or will it be taken by Standard Chartered Bank along the money?
Let me tell you very clearly that this matter is sub judice. And we have denied, disputed, and done all the denials in the post defense forum. So question of paying does not arise at all. And as and when this outcome of the cases are there, we will let you know, sir.
So just want to know that.
We are fighting it at different forums.
No, I just want to know that do we need to pay 143 odd crores, or do we need to pay 18% interest for past 15 years as well?
From where you got 18% interest?
Like if income tax penalty is...
Can I have that document or source, some
no,
kind
no.
of...
I'm just asking you that... I'm just asking you.
18% is... anyway, to be very precise on this particular issue, this is sub judice. It is really the outcome of the court that will decide whether we have to pay or we do not have to pay. Right now, we have denied and disputed, and for us, from our side, it is not payable.
So maximum outflow would be 143 odd crores, right?
Again, I'm telling you, like it is sub judice, it is a matter of the court, so I am restraining myself for commenting on this, because it is not payable, a single penny is not payable on this account, and we have denied and disputed the whole amount.
Okay. Thank you so much, and all the best for your future quarters.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Pradeep Jalui, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. So my question is regarding the cash equivalence which the company has, right? So it's almost around about 50% of the market cap right now. So is the management thinking of doing a share buyback right now? And if not, basically, what's the cash utilization going to go towards?
Right now, we have not published our balance sheet. It is not in the public domain for this quarter. So let us discuss it about in the month of September, sir.
So from, basically the March quarter, obviously, we have the balance sheet, right? So it's more than 800 odd crores cash.
So we will of course come to your place and we'll reply your question in the month of September, when our balance sheet will be there and when fresh assessment of the cash and cash equivalent is there. Of course we will reply and with what we are doing with our cash.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Keshav Garg from CCIP. Please go ahead.
Sir, I wanted to understand that since we have competition from GEM portal, and you had mentioned in one call previously that ITI and one more company is also basically doing the same kind of business that we are doing, auction or making software for auction. So what is the competitive scenario like? Are you seeing more participation by these competitors in, let's say, auction of bank properties or coal mine or telecom spectrum auction? Are these parties also competing with us over there?
You see, it's not that these entities except GEM. GEM has come a couple of years back. Most of the entities, but whosoever are the players in e-commerce, we are always in competition with them, and we are basically with the trust the people have put in our capabilities, the government sector as well as
now you are seeing that private sector people like SLR Mittal and Reliance and Airtel, Indus Tower, all these people are giving business to MSTC despite all the competition. You see, I mean, in the competitive environment also, we have survived and MSTC has grown. This is one thing, and we hope to continue our growth trajectory and provide the robust services. And what we say is we pay you the best value. Whatever scrap or any product the people are offering us, the government agency or the private agency, because we offer them the best price. If somebody is selling iron ore or our portal, vice versa, other competitive portal, competitor portal, so the price they get is worth the, basically. So that they get the best price, that's why they come to us. So we operate in competitive market. That is one thing. Second, some of the projects like mines options, that is given to us by Government of India. So that is a short kind of business as of now, because there the MSTC, like this mines option, there are some of the business which are basically given to us on nomination basis. There is no competition. For other majority of items, there is competition, but we are surviving because of our good services, and we have a large outreach. Our bidders community is very large, so that is why we are able to give very good price. So we don't have such fear competition, and we hope to survive and grow in the competition, and that is how the world is all about today.
Sure, sir. And sir, also, would you like to give us some idea that where are we in terms of penetration? That if we take scrap only, then we are doing mostly steel scrap. So how many large size PSUs are there which till now we are not catering to, or we are in talks, or there are chances that in future we might start offering our services to them? Similarly, in the private sector. So similarly, let's say for medical waste or for many other scrap items, if it's an ongoing generation of scrap, so can we be some kind of an aggregator?
You see, it's Raman. I only partially agree with your statement. It's not only ferrous scrap. On MSTC platform, we sell each and everything. It may be human hair, it may be non-paras, it may be aircraft, it may be aluminium, it may be batteries. So it's all kind of scrap, whether it is ferrous, whether it is non-ferrous, whether it is the commodity. So all kind of things are being sold on our platform. So, but and another thing I'd like to say is that we are continuously engaging. All our branch offices are there spread across the country. They are continuously engaging with the stakeholders, the government sector, the public sector there, the major private sector there. And we are increasing our outreach, and we are entering new MOUs with various principals. So that is why we have grown all these years by adding more number of sellers on our portal. And we hope to maintain that growth trajectory and add more number of important customers. Thank you.
Sir, sometime back you had mentioned that we have got into some kind of agreement with MIDC, or basically Industrial Development Corporations of States, to dispose of their scrap. So any progress on that front, and how many states have we signed such kind of agreements with, and what is the scope for future?
We have done it with the Oman.
Daman.
So there we are now with that experience, we are engaging with other state governments. But still we have not finalized any other agreement, and we are basically impressing upon the governments also to help us in that regard. So as and when something happens, major happens, we'll definitely inform you.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, we have reached the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So thank you, everybody, and all our investor community who have spared their time to participate and listen to us very patiently. From the management side, we can assure you, our investor community, that your investment is in safe hands, and we are striving hard. Our small team of 300 people is working hard for the growth of the company, so that our investors get a good returns on their investments. So that is what we believe that will happen, and that is happening also. Our IPO price was, we have more than double the IPO price, and we are hoping to gain further traction. Thank you.
Thank you all. That's all from our side, sir.
Thank you. On behalf of Equirus Securities Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your line.